Hey, this is Gene from the Mediums, Messages, and More Substack YouTube channel and podcast. So, obviously, this is our first podcast. It is podcast number one. So, right off the bat, let me please ask you to be patient and excuse any technical difficulties that we may be experiencing here today. And as we move forward, we're going to put all the bells and whistles that you have in a lot of podcasts. We're not going to make it too gorpy, but we're certainly going to have an intro song and an outro song, and we'll have some sound effects and all of that fine stuff. But for now, we're just going to do a straight-up, real-time podcast to get things started. So earlier today, I had recorded a video for YouTube on the topic that we're going to touch on today. And that is sports advertising, or more accurately, advertising in sports. So the whole premise of this podcast today and the YouTube video on the Mediums, Messages, and More channel is this. If you're a consumer of sports, have you noticed the overabundance and proliferation of advertising? And I'm not even talking about commercials, like television commercials in between innings or a timeout or an intermission or a period. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about marketing and branding and advertising within the game. So, in the YouTube video, I had mentioned that I am, first and foremost, I am a baseball fanatic. Absolutely love baseball. Have been a baseball fan my whole life. And I am a giant consumer of it. And full transparency, I consider myself a traditionalist as well, as I think most avid baseball fans, even younger ones, would lean towards describing themselves as traditionalist in baseball. And when it comes to the advertising within the game, I noticed that it has gotten to a point where I cannot enjoy the screen anymore. In other words, the amount of advertising and branding within the game has become so much that I find it actually distracting from enjoying the game, and I find it annoying. And so when it gets to that point, and you take someone like me who is a very large consumer of baseball, and I watch baseball, if not 7 days a week, at least some portion of it, close to 7 days a week, I'll tune in, and I really love the game. So if I'm getting annoyed by the volume, the visual distraction of branding and advertising in the game, to the point that it actually upsets me, that I find it distracting to the enjoyment of the game, are we at a point in general where advertising in sports has become so voluminous that it has become meaningless? And what I mean by that is, so the gold standard is you have X amount of money for an advertising campaign, and whether you're in marketing or sales, your marching orders is that this campaign or this even one particular ad better result in revenue, better result in sales. Or at the very least, give us greater visibility and exposure as a brand. Positive exposure. So take baseball, because I think, in my opinion, advertising in baseball is probably the most egregious right now. So you're watching a baseball game, and from the moment you sit down and you tune in and you have that classic vantage point of the camera from behind the pitcher looking into home plate, what you commonly see today is multiple advertisements behind home plate. When they started this several years ago, it was one or two, the most, billboard ads that were static. Now it's multiple ads in a lot of stadiums that rotate, that change. Then you have a logo, a brand, on the pitcher's mound. And if that's not enough, every conceivable piece of real estate within a baseball stadium has ads on the scoreboard, on the outfield wall, on the infield wall, all the decks in the infield, on the foul lines. There's ads everywhere. In the bullpens, over the bullpens, it doesn't matter. On top of that, there's these spot advertisements, right? These spot sponsorships. If someone steals a base, it's sponsored. If someone hits a home run, it's sponsored. A replay is sponsored. And then, for what a lot of traditionalists absolutely abhor, is it finally happened where Major League Baseball allowed branding advertisements on uniforms, which in baseball is kind of sacred. Of all of the major sports, the baseball uniform was like the last vestige of unblemished landscape in sports, where the baseball uniform was untouched. Well, a few years ago, of course, the Nike swoosh appeared on baseball uniforms. And a lot of people didn't like that and still don't like that. Of course, before the Nike swoosh, there were baseball caps that had the New Era logo on it, but that was pretty small and on the side of the cap, not too bad. But then, beginning last year, it happened, right, where teams started putting logos of sponsors or of a major sponsor on their sleeve of their uniforms. And full disclosure, I am a lifelong New York Yankee fan, and I've watched the New York Yankees for many, many years and absolutely love the team. But to me, here you have one of the most prestigious brands in all of sports, with one of the most famous, iconic uniforms in all of sports. And despite the billions that the franchise is worth, plus the billions that the sports channel, YES Network, that covers the Yankees is worth, doesn't matter. So they put an ad, the logo of a sponsor, on their sleeve. And the sponsor, for those who aren't familiar with it, who are not New York fans or don't live in the New York area, the sponsor, the sleeve sponsor for the New York Yankees, is an insurance company called Star Insurance. And at least with the Yankee uniform and the Star Insurance patch, the colors mesh. So Star Insurance is using kind of that Yankee navy blue. But you have a lot of teams across baseball where the sponsoring logo on the uniform is a color that is completely in clash with the uniform. It just looks ugly. Some of them are just horrible looking, and they look cheap, and they look cheesy, and honestly, they look unprofessional. So I'm saying all of this for a reason, because let's take the logos on sports jerseys. And it's not just baseball. The NBA has been doing it much longer. So has Major League Soccer. Hockey is now doing it. So they're all doing it now. But when you see a corporate sponsor's logo on your favorite team's uniform, how does it make you feel? Do you feel anything? And if you do feel something, is it annoyance? You don't want to see it? Or is it completely meaningless to you? Like, you just gloss over it. It's another visual clutter to you. So it doesn't even register with you. You don't care. Or does seeing a logo on a sports jersey, as well as the logo on the football field or the soccer pitch or in the baseball stadiums, does it make you interested in the brand and interested in purchasing, and therefore purchasing the service or the brand product? Does that happen? My own opinion on all of this is, it seems to me a giant, and generally speaking, a giant waste of money. I just find it hard to believe that in 2024, when there is now an oversaturation of advertising in sports, where it is everywhere you look, that advertisers are truly getting a return on the investment that helps the bottom line. Now, I've worked internally. I've led communication departments in several organizations. I've also worked on Madison Avenue. I've worked at big agencies and small PR agencies. And the marching order has always been consistently that if we're going to put aside X amount of money for an advertising campaign, or it could even be one ad, the return on that investment is an increase in sales, an increase in revenue. Very rarely has it been where there was a situation for advertising and it was exclusively to just gain visibility, to exclusively just begin the process of getting a brand out there. Now, I've had that over the years. I've done work for startups, entrepreneurial startups, that were literally at the beginning phase of their business. And so therefore, they had no brand visibility. They had no legacy. They didn't have any type of advertising campaigns to speak of. So any ads that they were doing were really to first establish the brand and to gain visibility. I did have also situations that I had been in over the years where I had worked for established brands that they were at a place where they had the money. And it wasn't so much about revenue, even though that's always there. It has to be, right? No matter how big you are, no matter what brand you are, even if you know that you're not so concerned about bringing in revenue from the brand, from the advertising, that it's more about prestige and lifting the brand's overall optics and visibility attached to prestige events, let's say like the Super Bowl or the World Series. That can happen. But even attached to that, that can only go so far. That can only go for so long because advertising is expensive and marketing is expensive and the creative process takes a long time and can be expensive. So I'm just wondering, for those of you who are listening, when you watch your favorite team in your favorite sport, and you see all of these advertisements, does it connect with you? Does it mean anything to you? And has it ever made you actually either want to know more about the sponsor? Or here's the gold standard. Have you seen a brand's logo in a game somewhere, anywhere? And it made you or inspired you or reminded you to purchase the product or service from that brand. The fact is, you know, years ago, and I came up with this, this was back in 2017, there was research done by a publication called ResearchGate. And ResearchGate had asked sports fans about how they felt about advertising in sports. And now, so this is going back years ago, and this is the reason why I brought this up, because obviously it has only gotten much more prolific in the advertising volume since then. But back in 2018, there was only one sports league, if you want to call it that, that fans were overwhelmingly okay with and understood and accepted heavy advertising, and that was NASCAR. And when I saw that, you know, I thought, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense, because as long as I can remember, now I've never been an avid NASCAR fan, but since I'm a sports fan in general, even as a kid, I would watch NASCAR racing. I would watch the Indy 500. And for as long as I can remember, there was always, you know, cars just covered in branding. So that seemed to be a part of the culture of the sport. And I think that's something a little different, that fans of NASCAR have basically for generations have been accustomed to heavy marketing, heavy advertising and branding within their sport. And it really has become part of the culture to the point where there are teams or there are cars and groups that are known by the brand that sponsors them. You have that in soccer as well today, to a point. Maybe one of the most famous being the Red Bulls. But all of those years ago, in this survey, outside of NASCAR, there was a very negative response to ads on jerseys, to ads on any type of clothing that the professional players were wearing. The most ardent protesters, if you will, of this type of advertising back in 2018 in this research were those who identified themselves as very avid fans of the NFL and of Major League Baseball. So, in order, the fans that were most opposed to the heavy advertising were those of the NFL, followed by Major League Baseball, then the NBA, and then the NHL. Interesting. Because all of those leagues since then have gone all in on advertising on professional uniforms, as well as far greater advertising anywhere else they can place it. So this research was out there years ago that fans who consider themselves top supporters, top consumers of a particular league, they were against this. It didn't matter. And I found that a little interesting. On top of that, younger fans, now this is, again, going back to this research by ResearchGate in 2018, you could start to see the generational shift taking place in 2018 already. Because in that survey, younger fans were more receptive, if you, you know, and kind of use that loosely, younger fans were described as supporting, more supportive of ads on uniforms. And we know today that all of the major leagues of sports in the United States have said publicly that they're all trying to appeal to the younger demographics, college and younger, because regardless of the league, it is increasingly difficult to get the attention and to get the consumerism of that age group, those demos. They're just not that interested in watching or attending as the older generations are. So we know that. There's a lot of research on that. And what kind of goes hand in hand with this research from several years ago is that younger fans in 2018, as well as in 2024, very bluntly, they have been so overstimulated visually by gaming that watching a real life sporting event and the advertising that goes with it probably seems a lot less slower and a lot less intense than what they are experiencing either with their VR or anything else considering gaming. And I know, having heard some interviews of sports executives across different leagues, they've kind of acknowledged that you know, the heavy visuals is not something that they're so concerned about with the younger viewer, because one, the younger viewer isn't viewing. and they're trying to change that, but also they have been so accustomed to heavily visual gaming that it doesn't faze them. So just something to think about there. But in general, though, we also know from recent headlines and all regarding sporting and marketing and advertising that the younger you go, the younger that you go from college and younger, those demos are not only not attending sports, they're not interested in watching an entire game. And for those demos, their exposure to a game, in quotes, a single game, is increasingly exclusive to highlights. And of course, that is disturbing, you know, for sports leagues. Is it an existential threat? Depends on the percentage, I guess, right, of the folks we're talking about. But it is out there. In the last several months, there have been reports on the fact that younger demos cannot sit and watch an entire football game, baseball game, basketball game, what have you. Baseball gets the most negative publicity about the length of a game, but it's not just baseball. It's sports in general. Young people, and this is from college and younger, they can't or they don't want to or they have no interest in sitting and watching a game in person or by screen. And the extent that they do watch, in quotes, watch a game is by looking at the highlights. So then if that's the case and you have this information in front of you as commissioner of whatever league, well, then you really don't care, bluntly, about the oversaturation of advertising, right? Because the younger folks aren't watching. They're only taking a look at the highlights. And as long as you have your TV contracts, well then, okay, let them look at the highlights on ESPN's app or Fox Sports app or Yahoo Sports app or wherever people are getting their highlights from. But for the people that are actually tuning in, and that's still the overwhelming majority who are tuning in, including young people who are interested in watching the game, is the advertising worth it anymore? There seems to be a lot of analytical research out there, as well as anecdotal, that people are fed up with the amount of advertising. And when we say fed up with it, we mean one way or the other, they're tuning out. So is it worth it? I mean, I want to say, has the game experience been hurt by so much branding and marketing all over a game? My bias to that is it has been. I think the viewing experience of a game, especially baseball, has really been hurt, the aesthetics of it. That's my own personal opinion of it. I find too much visual advertising where the screen is just filled with ads. I find that distracting. I find it a negative, but I might be in the minority. I'm not sure. I'd be interested in hearing your feedback, your comments on how you feel about it in the comments section. But, you know, also, to be fair, there is at least one outlier who has done very well with an enormous amount of advertising in sports, and in particular, college football. And that is Dr. Pepper. Now, you know, 10 years ago, Dr. Pepper was kind of, you know, if not a fading brand, it was a status quo brand, right? It wasn't necessarily growing. If anything, maybe sales were on the soft side. And a decision was made that Dr. Pepper was going to be marketed to younger people, as well as the college football crowd. And really for, I think, 7 or 8 years now, Dr. Pepper has been so synonymous with college football that you think of one and the other. It's at a point where, you know, the college football season had its week one full slate of games last weekend. And there were a lot of people looking forward to the, quote, new season of Dr. Pepper commercials. And so when you look at that brand's investment in advertising and sports, now granted, it's not sports in general. It was a decision to hone in on a particular sport and that particular sport's particular audience and demos and just go after it. And they went all in. And to their credit, earlier this year, Dr. Pepper rose in sales to now be the second most popular drink in the United States. And this is for a brand that, again, had been, you know, existing. It was obviously a legacy brand. It had its core consumers. It had an identifiable brand and legacy to it, all of that. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't necessarily growing. It was there. And they went all in. And in 2024, they are now the second most popular soft drink, only behind Coca-Cola. Now, for perspective, in 2024, Coca-Cola, which is still the leader of the market, has about a 19 to 20% market share. And Dr. Pepper is about at 8.5%. And they just jumped over Pepsi. Pepsi had been in second for years, and Pepsi is at about 8.3, 8.2. So Dr. Pepper overtook Pepsi to be the second most popular soft drink brand. There, obviously, that's in revenue. That's an increase in sales. And obviously, it happens during the current continuing ad campaign. So there you can make a point that here is a brand that invested tens of millions of dollars over years and went all in aligning themselves with a sport, and it paid off for them. Now you have to have that budget, you have to have that patience, you have to have that vision, and you have to be in a particular place like Dr. Pepper was, where this is going to work for you. Honestly, when you look at an NFL game and you see all of the advertisements within the stadium, does that mean anything to you? So I'm located here in North Jersey. I'm a Jersey guy, born and bred, lived in New Jersey my whole life. And as I'm doing this and talking about this, I'm thinking of MetLife Stadium. And I don't mean to pick on MetLife Stadium, but, and I'm not picking on MetLife or MetLife Stadium, but for all of the years that MetLife has had its name on that stadium off of Route 3 in the Meadowlands of New Jersey, how many of you wanted to know more about MetLife because of the branding on the stadium? How many of you took a further step and actually purchased services or a product from MetLife because of the branding. Did it connect with you at all? Or is it just, again, nothing? It just doesn't register with you. You could say that about so many stadiums, right? Barclays in Brooklyn. Does Barclays generate any revenue, any sales? Are there any metrics to show, to prove that putting Barclays' name on the center in Brooklyn has resulted in sales? I don't know. Not that I'm aware of. There's no hard data that people at Barclays have that it has done that. And you could go on and on and on. Tonight, the 2024 NFL season begins in Kansas City, and it's a rematch of the AFC Championship game from last season, where it's the Baltimore Ravens against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs Stadium, which had been known as Arrowhead for years and years and years, was rebranded, right? I think it was rebranded. And the name of the brand is, and hopefully I'm getting this right, I think it's pronounced Geha Field. So it's Geha Field at Arrowhead Stadium. It's spelled G-E-H-A. Now, I don't know what that brand stands for. I don't know what it is. I have no interest in learning more about it. It's in Kansas City. I'm assuming it's not a national brand. I never heard of it. But was it worth it for that company, for that brand, to spend the millions that they did and putting their name on the stadium? Maybe for them it is. Again, in that situation, you can argue, maybe, that at the end of the contract, that brand will have raised its visibility. It will have more brand exposure, and more people will know who they are and what they do. And if that results in more revenue, great. But in general, I do question if the sports advertising is really worth it. Now, the NFL, of course, you know, last year, something like 90% of the top 100 telecasts were NFL games. It's a ridiculous number, but this has been going on for years, where the NFL literally owns 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 of every 10 most viewed programs. And they absolutely own the top 100 every year. They are the overwhelming majority. So at least with that, if you're advertising on television, doing commercials, you know that there are very few, there's literally probably less than two handfuls of programs that are going to give you the audience that an NFL game provides. That's old school metrics, though. You know, when I was starting out and I was working, whether I was working in-house or I was working at an agency, it was a little simpler in the sense that the bulk of advertising was done in print, namely newspapers and magazines. And I got to be honest with you, back in the day, even though I started out in journalism, my roots are in journalism as a newspaper guy, writing for a daily paper, I couldn't believe when I found out years ago, when I found out that a full-page ad in not even the New York Times, but in some regional papers, could cost you $30,000, $40,000 for one ad one day. I was amazed that newspapers got that type of advertising, and that that business model lasted as long as it did, because really, I remember very clearly, I would write a story the next day, it would be in the paper, and then I'd be on the subway on to my next story, and I'd be seeing yesterday's edition or the same day edition on the floor of the subway car. And often there was an ad that was on the floor. And I'm thinking, man, someone just spent $30,000, $40,000 on an ad that people are literally stepping on. And I could never understand it. The only thing that made sense in the advertising world was that back then, newspapers, well, legitimate newspapers and legitimate publications would have their independent circulation audits. And so the circulation numbers were certified. And at the very least, an advertising campaign could pick a newspaper and they could say, okay, this independent circulation audit says that on Sundays, this paper has a circulation of 600,000 people. Or on Thursday, it's 400,000 people. And this was certified, it was audited, and at least you had metrics of your potential audience. What always struck me funny about that was, back in its heyday, the newspaper business could say, we have a certified circulation of 600,000, 700,000, a million. But of course, how many people were turning the pages of a newspaper and reading an ad? You know? And of course, that was always the conundrum, right? That was always the debate. But at least there were metrics that were legitimate to a degree that people could rely on. Same thing with magazines, whether it was a weekly, a quarterly, a monthly. You know, they had their circulations audited, and they can come to you and say, you know, this is the circulation of this magazine. And so therefore, and then some of the ones that were ahead of their time could break down by income, age, you know, who their readers were. So you could at least hold on to that if we're going to spend X amount of money on this media outlet, this is our potential audience that we could reach, and a percentage of that audience has an income of whatever, 100,000 or greater, you know, whatever, right? So at least you could hold on to some metrics. Now, if it didn't result in revenue, well, you're in trouble. The same thing with Nielsen, right? The NFL television, even today, even though Nielsen has amended the way they're doing viewing audiences, for the better, probably, but at least there's some sort of science that the networks and advertisers kind of agree on, that it's accurate enough that you can get a snapshot of what the potential total audience of a show is. But when it comes to spending six figures or more on a billboard in a sports stadium, or putting your logo on a team's uniform, you wonder what metrics could there be that are going to tell you that it was worth it for Star Insurance to spend that money putting their logo on the Yankee jersey, or that it was worth it for Motorola to put their logo on the San Diego Padres jersey. That one stands out to me because I don't know if you've seen it or not. You can easily Google it in images. But if you look at the current San Diego Padre uniforms with the Motorola logo, to me, it's hideous. It's absolutely hideous. It doesn't go with the uniform. It's overly large. It just is ugly. But those are just two examples. Those are two companies. You know, one is established, Motorola, right? One is very well established, a market leader. And one is, honestly, even as a Yankee fan, I'm not too familiar with Star Insurance, which, you know, I don't mean to single them out, but I'm a Yankee fan, and having their logo on a Yankee sleeve has not made me interested in their brand, hasn't made me want to learn more about it, and certainly not purchase anything from them. So, you know, but then again, you know, Motorola's ad on a Padre uniform wouldn't do that for me either. So circling back, like, is it worth doing that? Is it even worth it? And what metrics are there that are going to tell you that that was a good investment? Again, maybe for Star Insurance, it was about, hey, we put our logo on a Yankee uniform, and when that contract is up, more people are going to know who we are. We're going to have greater brand visibility and recognition, and maybe we'll even have sales with it. Maybe they can afford that. I don't know, but just something to think about. So, you know, getting on all of this with advertising and sports, just tying it all together, do you think there's too much advertising in sports today? And when you are watching a game, especially on a traditional television screen, and if you have, of course, the very large screens, but especially on a traditional television screen, as well as your phone, your tablet, or laptop, is it too much visually? Is there just too much advertising? And does it annoy you? Do you just simply gloss over it? It doesn't connect at all. So you don't patronize the brand. You don't look into it. You don't care about it. It's just visual clutter. Or has it resulted in you honestly either wanting to learn more about it or purchase, be a consumer of that brand? I'd be very interested in seeing the feedback and your take on that. So I just thought, you know, for our first podcast today, since tonight is the NFL kickoff for the 24th season, and college football just kicked off a few days ago, and we're getting now into the pennant races for baseball and so on. It's a really good time of year for sports, and it just struck me watching some games over the last several weeks that, man, there's a lot of branding, and it just feels too much. But is that an age thing? If you are college age or younger and you're listening to this, does it matter to you? Are you annoyed by it? Or do you simply, you know, not accept it, but it is what it is. Like, it's just there, just like the players are there. And the field is there. These ads are just there. And it doesn't even matter to you. If you're older and you grew up with a totally different viewing experience and it does annoy you, how much does it annoy you? And has it made you at times just walk away where you can't enjoy it because there's just too much clutter on the screen? Be very interested in hearing your feedback. So just want to say thank you to everyone who is listening and who will be listening. This is the Mediums, Messages, and More podcast that goes along with the Mediums, Messages, and More Substack newsletter and the Mediums, Messages, and More YouTube channel. And you can find information about all of that in the links that are provided. And I'm sure we will be touching on this topic as different sports seasons go on. And I have more time to collect some more research and share it with you and have a discussion with you about it. But I just wanted to get on, since it is the kickoff tonight for the NFL season, and to just to share some thoughts and to get some feedback from you and to say welcome. I'm very happy. I'm so grateful that you've joined, listening, and I hope that you you continue to tune in when we have new content available. And I promise you that even though we're in beta stage right now with everything, we will be adding the bells and the whistles and ironing out the kinks technically as we move along. So just bear with us. So this is Gene. I hope you're doing well on this day, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of the week, and we will have a new episode up soon. And please leave your feedback on mediums, messages, and more.